In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're looking at how Christ resisted temptation. And in so doing, Jesus is teaching us how the Christian can overcome temptation. The title of the Sunday School lesson we're looking at is The Christian Overcoming Temptation. This is a Sunday School lesson prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of January the 30th, 1927. If you want to follow along, you might want to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 4. We're studying the temptations that are recorded there when the devil tempted Christ in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and we're going to briefly look at that first temptation. We discussed that in our last class, and then we're going to move on to the second. While you're turning to Luke chapter 4, preparing your mind to receive this lesson, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola, at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. You will see our meeting house as you're traveling from McMinnville to Biola on the right. But if you're traveling from Biola to McMinnville, you will see it on the left. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you again the first temptation of Christ. I'm going to read Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, where it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led of the Spirit in the wilderness during 40 days, being tempted of the devil, and he did eat nothing in those days. And when they were completed, he hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it become bread. And Jesus answered unto him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew records, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word of God means that all of God's will must be done. If it leads through hunger and poverty to the cross and death, and God will sustain him who does it. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the written Word, as people sometimes say, is the only weapon Jesus used with which to defend himself against these temptations. He at once quoted the Scripture, saying, It is written. There's great authority and power in knowing what God has written. And if we want to grow strong spiritually, then we're going to study our Bibles and know what is written and be able to use them effectively as Jesus did. But now let's look to the second temptation. The second temptation be given by Matthew is the one tempting or making trial of God. This is recorded as the third temptation by Luke, but is really the second. Hence, Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 11 of this lesson will be studied next, and before verses 5 through 8. So let's look at this. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. And he led him to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou art the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee to guard thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest happily thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. The second temptation when the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem. He called it the Holy City. The Holy City was Jerusalem, and the pinnacle of the temple was some very high point of the building overlooking perhaps a deep valley below. Again, the doubt and the taunt are repeated. To cast himself down without injury would show his power and gain the applause and the wondering multitudes. Love of applause and love of distinction are human passions. Thus he would open up a short way into the confidence of the Jewish nation and easily establish himself at once as their king. This would be quicker and a more desirable way than the patient, suffering, tearful, prayerful, self-denying way of the cross. This was a temptation. Jesus, in human tears and sweat and blood, shrank from the cross and prayed God that the cup might pass. But in its dark shadow, as in the wilderness of temptation, his only desire was that God's will be done. Since Jesus relied so implicitly upon the word of God, the devil quoted scripture to induce him to do wrong. He quoted from Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12, but he left out an important line where it says, "To keep thee in all thy ways." God will protect and keep those who walk in the way he has appointed for them. Going where God says go is trusting him. Satan first tempted Jesus to distrust God. Now he tempts him to go to the extreme rash of tempting him. But Jesus at once replied, "It is said," or again, "It is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God." God's statements do not conflict. His word is always harmonious. He does not tell men what to do or what not to do and then send the devil or even angels to them to countermand his directions. Jesus still relies implicitly upon the word of God that is as written, and so may we. God's word is always right. I'm reminded of a preacher that used to repeat over and over so that the children would learn this, and he's known for this saying, "It is always right to do what's right, and it is always wrong to do what's wrong, and it is never right to do what's wrong, and it is never wrong to do what's right, because the Bible is right." Well, now let's look at the third temptation. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 8, and then verse 13. "And he led him up, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto them, to thee will I give all this authority and the glory of them, for it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship before me, it shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then verse 13, and when the devil had completed every temptation, he departed from him for a season. This is the last temptation at this time, and it is the mightiest. It has been called the Satan's masterpiece. In this he throws off the mask and acknowledges that he is the prince of the world. From a lofty eminence, an exceeding high mountain, he spreads out before Jesus in a moment of time the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Jesus sees all: the luxury and ease, the pomp and splendor, the bright crowns and dazzling glories, the wealth of the East, the culture and refinement of Greece, and the power and triumphant armies of Rome. Satan offers all this to Jesus, saying, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. For it hath been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. All this authority, and the glory of them, it shall all be thine. It was a great temptation. The love of worldly power and glory is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, of human passions. Satan told no lie. All this had been delivered to him, and he's the prince of the world, John 14:30. It would have been no temptation to offer to Jesus that which Satan did not possess. Christ's kingdom is not of this world, John 18:36. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, Revelation 11:15. Christ must rescue all from Satan. He did not dispute Satan's claims to these things. To reclaim them and reign with God, Jesus must tread the thorny way alone. He must endure the cross and its shame. He must go through the blood and the grave. If Jesus would give up this purpose and worship Satan, make him the head and leader, then Satan would place Jesus on the throne without this self-denial and suffering. Well, Jesus feels the force of the temptation, but abhors the thought, and repels the adversary with indignation, exclaiming, "Get thee hence, Satan, that is, leave me, thou arch enemy of God and man, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 13. Again, Christ's defense is the word of God. It is written. This is sufficient. God is the creator and ruler of the universe, and to worship and serve him is man's only and greatest good. To turn from him is ruin forever. Satan has done his best. He has presented all his temptations, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. And he has presented them in his subtlest and most artful manner. And Jesus has resisted them all. Satan recognized his defeat and departed from him for a season. When Jesus had fought off the devil, angels came and ministered unto him. They came after the victory, not to fight his battles. In all probability, they're the ones that brought him food and sympathy. Angels indeed have charge of him now. The other text for this lesson is 1 Corinthians 10:12-13. And there we read, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." All are going to be tempted. And all are going to be tempted through their own lust, James 1:13-15. None are tempted above their ability to resist. God will not allow Satan to tempt us beyond our ability to resist him. Satan could do this if God would allow him. So when we yield, it's our own fault. You can't say the devil made me do it. He may have tempted you to do it, but you did it, and you didn't have to. Temptations prove and all and strengthen all who resists them. Jesus would later admonish his disciples, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation." So that is the Sunday school lesson on the Christian overcoming temptation. We learn from Christ to rely on the power of God and the power of his word. It is written.